is an interview with Sister Marie Hughes by Donna DeBlasio for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the Ursuline Nuns on April the 10th, 1975 at 1:30 p.m. at Holy Family School. Sister, could you tell us a little bit about your family background and your educational background?
Well, I can tell you that I was born of Irish immigrants. My parents both came over from Ireland when they were really young. I think they came over in the early 1900s, perhaps between 1900 and 1910. I would say that they're hardworking people. That my father was a machinist at the Republic Steel, and my mother did housework, as did many of the people who came over on the first boat. I think my educational background, I would say, I graduated from St. Patrick's Elementary School about 1930, and I went to Ursuline High School. I was in the first class of coeducational education, if you want to call it that. I graduated from Youngstown State University, I think, in about 1950. I got an MA in theology from St. Mary's College at Notre Dame University, or at Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana, about 1957. Then after that, I think I attended Catholic University for several summers to catch up on or to be certified for supervision and administration in the elementary schools. I also attended Fordham University and took courses in educational television. I attended Marquette University for one summer. I think that's about it.
What influenced you to enter a religious life?
Well, I think more than anything else, I ran around with a group of girls at Ursuline that were oriented that way. We had a lot of fun. We were active in our class activities. But I belonged to a club, and there were five girls in that club that were thinking about entering the convent. And all of us more or less follow the leadership of the present Sister Jerome Corcoran. She was a strong leader, I'd say. And I remember her at one time telling us that if Catholic high schools didn't produce religious, then who would? And that stuck with me. And then I liked the Ursulines that I met. I liked the Ursuline sisters that I had at Ursuline High School. In addition to that, I think I came from a real good Catholic family. We were strongly religious. I'd say the Irish faith is a pretty strong faith, and that had an influence on me. Then, more than any of these, I think I always felt that I had a call, a personal call, to be a sister. And I thought because I had that personal call to be a sister, I had a responsibility to answer that call.
Could you describe a typical day when you first entered the order?
When I first entered the order, our days were scheduled for us. Now this was way back in 1935. And I entered the Ursuline Convent on Whig Avenue. And we were called postulants at the time. There were six of us. We were called postulants for our first 6 months training. Now a typical day at that time ran something like this. We got up about 5 in the morning, dressed, then walked down to Rayon Avenue for Mass. I think Mass must have been about 6:30. We went to Mass and had our breakfast there, and then we started out for school about 7:30. Between 7:30 and 8, I think, vaguely. We arrived at school, and I think at that time our school started between 8:30 and 9, and I think they lasted until 3:30. The boys and girls at that time went home for lunch, and there was no such thing as coming to school on a bus or going home on a bus. Most of the travel was by foot, so our days then were longer. After school, we came home to our convent again about 4:30. We had prayers from 5 to 6, we ate at 6, did the dishes, had recreation, had night prayers, after night prayers, we had study, and I think we went to bed about 10 o'clock.
How would you say this has changed throughout the years?
Well, since Vatican II, there's been a big change. Now we schedule our own day. At that time, it was scheduled for us. And interestingly enough, sometimes the days end up to be about the same. However, I think we get up a little bit later and we go to bed a little bit later. Right now, at my convent, I get up about 6:15. We have prayers about 6:45, not Mass. Usually, a sister's day always began with Mass in the morning. Now we schedule Mass at various times during the day. For example, our Mass now is at 4:45 and not in the afternoon. Do not have the extra activities that we used to have as sisters long ago. We used to take care of the church, we used to take care of the altar boys, the choir, anything and everything that was connected with the church, I think the sisters took care of. Now we don't do that at all. Those duties have fallen by the wayside. They are being taken care of by lay people, and we teach school and then take care of the activities that go with that, that are directly related to it. So I'd say, in summary, that now we make our own schedule. We do many of the same things as we did before, but we do them at different times of our own choice. The schedule today is made by us, and we might say the schedule today is made by the nuns in one convent, not in the entire convent. I live at St. Nicholas. We met at the beginning of the year, and we made our own schedule. That was unheard of years ago.
What have your duties been when you've been in Ursula, just teaching?
Most of the time, I have been a teacher. I began many years ago at St. Nicholas School in Struthers, and I remember my first year of teaching, I had grades 4, 5, and 6 in one room, about 50 students, between 50 and 60. Now, people might gasp or raise their eyebrows at this today, but it was true in most schools, public as well as parochial, the classes were very large. After that, I think I taught at St. Charles Boardman, 7th grade. I taught at St. Nicholas, 7th grade. I taught at St. Rose Girard. I substituted for a while at Ursuline High School. I taught religion at Cardinal Mooney. But for a big part of my life, 12 years, I was Directress of Education for the Ursuline Sisters, and previous to that, I was a diocesan elementary school supervisor. I worked for the Department of Education. My headquarters were downtown on Wood Street, just as they are today. But Sister Jerome Corcoran was the first diocesan elementary supervisor, and then I worked with her.
What did your duties entail as diocesan supervisor?
As diocesan supervisor, my duties had to do with many things. But one of the things that I remember was working with new lay teachers. For example, I interviewed people who wanted to be teachers. I recommended people for parishes to subsidize their education. And I taught at Youngstown State University. I taught method courses in education to people who were going to be lay teachers in the Catholic schools or who already were lay teachers in the Catholic schools. And I remember, I think one of the most enjoyable things that I've ever done was teach adults. It seemed as though it wasn't necessary to motivate adults. Adults knew what they wanted to learn, and they were willing to do more than the required work. And as a result, they stimulated me to be a better teacher, as well as my stimulating them to be a better teacher. And it was a very rewarding thing.
Could you describe a typical day, perhaps here at Holy Family?
At Holy Family?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, we arrive about 7:45. Between 7:45 and 7:45, the teachers gather together. The teachers are required to be here at 7:45 also. At 8 o'clock, they're required to be in their classroom, but between quarter to 8 and 8 o'clock, we socialize more or less and talk about things that have gone on and perhaps plan a little bit about the future. School starts at 8:15. And at 8:15, I go through the school. I try to go through the school every day and just to see what's going on, to see that the property is in good condition. And about 8:45, I come down here. And I take care of organizational or administrative activities. For example, tomorrow morning I'm going to be writing up a parent bulletin. And I try to spend 2 hours a day of my day on organizational activities. And by that I mean not only parent bulletins, but also teacher bulletins. I spend some time in the classrooms. I'd say it should even out to about an hour a day, or even less now that we have had other duties, for example, like spending money. I think everybody knows that the Catholic schools have received a great deal of money on House Bill 993, and it has been my duty to see that that money is spent wisely and well. So during this year, I have spent a whole lot of time on that. I'd say another part of the day is spent on parent conferences. For example, next Tuesday I'm going to invite the mothers and the fathers of grade 3 into our school. And at that time I will show them the records of all of their children. For example, Mrs. Jones might be one of the mothers. I would give her Bobby Jones's folder from grade 3. Each mother or father will have his child's folder in their hands, and I will explain to them the contents of that folder. Now, we've done that this year since that controversy about students' records came up. And since the bill has been passed, the parents are permitted to see the records. I want to make sure that every parent here has the opportunity to see it. So I've started with eighth grade, now I'm on third grade. And those people will come in and they will be here for an hour and a half, or 2 hours, and I'll answer their questions and so forth. I spend a good bit of time, too, with the people. Like, we have a guidance counselor, and I have to communicate with her. I have to know what she's doing. So I would say sometime during the day, I see her. We have a reading improvement teacher. I want to keep track of her. This morning I spent some time with the librarian and we went through some of the books that perhaps we wanted to allow. We have a speech therapist. I was just up to see her before you came in. Tomorrow we'll have our school psychologist there. So I say a certain percentage of the day is spent with the personnel other than the classroom teacher. And we have here 14 classrooms, 14 teachers. In addition to that, we have a full-time phys ed, full-time music teacher, reading improvement, guidance counselor, a full-time librarian, and myself. So it all adds up to about 20 people. So a good part of my day is finding out what these people are doing, keeping track, as it were, talking with them, and just knowing what's going on in my school. I have to keep my finger on everything and kind of more or less guide it without their knowing.
What do you remember about Yearsland Academy?
Well, I was fortunate enough to spend a few weeks substituting there when I was a postulant. Sister Norbert, fifth and sixth grade teacher, was ill, and so I took her classes for her. I remember it was kind of a high class school, I would say. But the children were very lovely, very easy to deal with, eager to learn. But I think they may have been from the well-to-do families on the north side at that time. That's about all I remember.
Edison High School, could you describe the building that was used when you were there as a student?
When I was there as a student, just about half of what is there now was the building that I attended. If you go up, you'll see that there is a difference in the architecture and in the structure. Well, the original building was the one with the white brick, sort of old architecture. I'm not sure exactly what kind, but you can see the modern architecture now, and you can see where the division was made. The classrooms were large, the classrooms were high, desks were on runners, and it was a typical school for the 30s and the 40s, I think. The halls were wide. I think that's about all I remember. We did have a very fine gymnasium. The gymnasium could be and was turned into a theater at times by putting up chairs, movable chairs. I remember the phys ed program at the time, and I think it was a very good one. We had a full-time phys ed, and I think it was Ms. Dival.
What types of classes did they offer at the time, like academic, business?
I think they offered the academic and the business, and I think it was everything that a child today could select. Perhaps we didn't have as many different things, but I remember taking ancient history, which today might be called world civilization. I remember American history. I took Latin 1 and Latin 2. I took French 1, French 2. I had 4 years of English. I took Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Trigonometry, Solid Geometry, and Plane Geometry, plus Physics. I remember Religion 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think the classes were not really very large. I'd say maybe 30, 35, 40. I remember we had, as I said before, Phys Ed. I remember we had a fine music department. I think it was headed by Sister Veronica, who was an excellent musician. It seemed to me as though it was a very fine school. Perhaps the boys and girls who went there were academically inclined and were college preparatory bound. There was typing, because I did take typing in shorthand. But other than that, I'm not sure that there was even a machines course offered at the time.
What teachers that you have there stand out in your memories?
Sister Perpetua, who is still living, stands out as one of the kindest and most beautifully mannered persons I've ever met. Mother Blanche was a very efficient, managerial type person. She was very inspiring. Sister Kathleen taught commercial subjects. She's now working downtown, but I remember she taught me country. I liked her very much. Mother Vincent, it seemed, was a superior at the time, and there was a Mother Bernie there. I remember them. They were very refined ladies. I remember Sister Margaret, the history teacher. I remember Sister Charles, who was our ancient history teacher. She was a very, very fine teacher. I recall that she was outstanding in fairness, and she was beloved by many and admired by many people. She taught recently at Cardinal Mooney until she died.
Was there any special dress code?
Oh yes, we had uniforms. We had blue uniforms, and they had to touch the ground. You didn't have to kneel, but if a person would kneel, that uniform had to be touched the ground. You know what I mean by that? It had to be on the touch ground. Now that's quite different from what we see today. You know, that was a long time ago. I went to Ursuline High School between 1930 and 1934.
How did you feel about the boys finally being allowed to come to Ursuline?
I think we were all very happy about it, and I think they brought new spirit and new life to the place. You know, when you have a football team and a basketball team, it's possible to have spirit that you wouldn't have had otherwise. However, I do think we did have a girls' basketball team, not a football team. But I remember that the spirit there was really, I think it blossomed forth when the boys came. It was a different type of spirit when there was, but we liked it a lot. We really did.
What type of extracurricular activities did you have?
I remember belonging to the French club. I remember we read books. I think we put on a French play. That's a long time ago. Let me see if I can remember anything else. We went to all the football games and basketball games. I think we had... other types of clubs also. Right now, I don't think I can name them.
Was there a feeling of superiority, do you think, about going to Ursuline?
I really don't know. I went to Ursuline because I won a scholarship there. My brother went to Ursuline because he won a scholarship there. The rest of our family all went to South High School. It's odd that my brother and I both ended up being the religious, and the others didn't, never thought of it. If that really, I think, is something to remember. I think the religion courses and the atmosphere that permeated Ursuline was a very, very religious one. And I think it was possible to get caught up in it and to be a better person because you were there. And I feel that I'm a better person because I was there, because of the people that I met here, because of the people that I associated with since I've left Ursuline. Right now, my best friends are the friends that I graduated with at Ursuline High School. Five of us from one class entered the convent and we're still here.
Do you remember what your feelings were on graduation day?
Well, we graduated at the old Keith Albee Theater downtown. It's no longer there. But I remember we liked it a lot. We were proud of the fact that we could graduate down there. I don't remember too much about how I felt. I think I was a little sad at departure. Very sad. Because at the time it was depression. And we really didn't have much to look forward to. So I remember that jobs were very scarce at the time. Money was scarce at the time. We were lucky if we could go through the town and have 5 cents for a Coke. Often we walked through town window shopping, but not very often did we spend money. And that was the fate of everybody, really. If there were any boys and girls who had money to spend or had more money than we had, we didn't know it because we felt we were all in the same boat. And I think perhaps we were. I'd say that we were very sad at departure, but I'd also say that I have kept in touch with many of the graduates, and I am still in touch with them today.
Going back to the Ursuline Sisters, could you describe how special occasions were celebrated, such as Christmas and Easter?
Okay. I think the one that stands out most in my mind is Easter. Easter was a big feast in our convent, as it is in the church today. And we really and truly kept Lent, as it were. We made Lent a very penitential time. And when Holy Week came along, there was even a more profound penitential atmosphere. And it was the custom of the times in our convent as well as in other convents to begin to keep silence on Wednesday night, to keep silence all day Thursday and Friday, and then up until noon on Saturday, and then we were ready to burst forth with a lot of talk. And that somehow, with a lot of spirit and a lot of light, and that somehow is what the resurrection is today, joy and gladness and peace. And throughout these Wednesday night and Thursday and Friday, we had special prayers. We had what we call a Holy Week office, and it was a long office. We prayed out loud for an hour from our Holy Week office books. On Thursday, the superior sort of waited on table to, in imitation of Christ's service to his disciples and apostles. It was just a very penitential thing, and I think it was a good thing to live through. Today we don't have that practice at all, but I think that sometime on our own choice we will go back to a more meditative Holy Week, somewhat like the ones of old, but yet being our choice rather than having it imposed upon us. We didn't feel as though it was imposed upon us because that was the tenor of the day.
What unique things do you remember about any of the coffins that you've lived at?
Well, I lived at the Wick Mansion. It was formerly the McAndrews Mansion on Bryson, or I think it's on Wick Avenue, 750 Wick Avenue. It was just torn down about 2 years ago. But I remember entering, living there when I first entered. And previous to our taking it over, the third floor was a ballroom, and there were three or four very large rooms up there. In order to make use of it, the nuns put up curtains and made it into a dormitory. Well, one of our friends, one of the sisters, the young sisters, was showing this dormitory to another sister who was thinking about entering, and she said this was just a temporary arrangement. But it was funny because it really wasn't temporary. It remained like that throughout 20 or 30 or 40 years. And we always think it's a big joke because Sister Mary John, the one who was doing the describing, was trying to make an excuse for the dormitory, and thought she was making the other sister feel good by telling her it was just a temporary arrangement. I remember that as being rather funny. We had many, many good times in the convent, many good times. We always celebrated holidays with parties. As postulants, we always gave plays, made up entertainment, did many creative things for the other sisters. We look forward to sisters coming home from summer school because they had a lot to tell us about their studies during the summer.
What was memorable about any of the mothers whom you served under?
What was memorable? I remember serving under Mother Blanche Klempe, and I think that she was a very efficient person and a very productive person. She was the type of a manager that we needed at the time that she was superior, and I think she was superior for 15 years. I remember
what years of your own religious life stand out and why?
I think the part that stands out more than anything else was the time that I was at the diocesan office. That part stands out, I think, because I worked very, very hard during that time. There I received, I think, a wealth of experience. I met a lot of people that broadened my outlook on life. I did a lot of things that I ordinarily would not have done had I not been there. I think I learned a lot in the short time that I was there. And the things that I learned I've used since then, especially my administrative duties.
What sisters stand out in your memories and why?
Well, I have some very fine friends that stand out in my memory. I spent a lot of time with the sisters that entered with me, and they were Sister Mary Agnes Conberry, Sister Jerome Corcoran, Sister Mary Catherine Duran, Sister Ann Lynch. There was another sister, Sister Mary Conaboy, that right now, but she has died since. These sisters were very, very lovely sisters. They were nice to be with all the time. We enjoyed many good times together, and when one of us was depressed or sad, we could always count on the encouragement, the friendship, the advice of the others in our band, and I think that I can truthfully say that that we have always been friends, and it's been their companionship, I think, that has made me very happy in the religious life.
What changes have you noticed from when you first entered the order till now?
There have been numerous changes, I think. People on the outside could probably tell us more about the changes. Since Vatican II, you know, first of all, I suppose the biggest change that people who see us would say that it's our dress, our habit. We no longer have our long habit and our large headdress. I think we dress more like seculars. Right now, we as Ursulines have chosen to keep our headdress. And this is rather unique because many of the other sisters have not. I'd say there's been a change in habit. There's been a change in attitude. I think that there... The change... we've gone along with the changes in the church, this change in liturgy. Changes in regard to change itself. Today we have to look ahead to the future knowing that it will be change. Later, or earlier, our path was sort of cut out for us. Now, we choose our own.
What do you think is the future direction of the Ursuline Order?
I think the thrust of the Ursulines will always be education of some type. That education may not always be in the Catholic schools, but it may be in the area of adult education, CCD, or pastoral ministry. It could even be in the hospitals. However, personally, I hope that we always hold on to the key positions in the Catholic elementary schools, because I, for one, think that they are a very important instrument in spreading the gospel message and in witnessing the gospel message.
Why do you think it's difficult to get modern women to enter religious life?
Well, I think it's difficult to get them because today we have to think in terms of the type of a girl who would dedicate her life to this commitment. And that type of a girl has to be a very mature type of a girl. Sisters today are living in situations that are harder to handle. It's harder to make decisions and live by them because the decisions are made by the individual herself. In the past, the sisters led a protected life. The choices were made by others for the most part. Today, I think women believe in the myth that religious life is non-changeable. But our women of today grow up with the idea of change. And she likes to see herself in leadership roles that are also roles of service. And then two women of today are kind of looking for alternate roles rather than roles in the home. But I think they find it difficult to choose religious life because religious life and the commitment that goes with it is appealing only to a very mature type of person. And then more than anything else, again, I would say, I firmly believe that there is the personal call to holiness in a religious life. And if a girl gets that call, I think that she can handle it today if she chooses to respond to that. We read in the gospel that message, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. And I think that still holds.
Do you have any other comments about the Ursuline Nuns?
I would like to say that I'm very proud to be an Ursuline sister. I've given everything that I have to the Ursuline sisters, and I've never regretted having entered. I only hope I only hope and believe that the Earthling Order will continue to hold on to leadership roles in the ministry of the Catholic